Foo Fighters, glowing discs or fireballs ranging from a few inches to several feet in size, which were seen by pilots of World War II planes. The Germans thought they were secret devices of the Allies. The Allies thought they were of German origin. Now considered to be remote-controlled electronic devices sent out by spaceships to gather data and transmit sounds, pictures and telepathic reports to the control ships. Levitation, the process of mentally controlling the energy constituting an object in such a manner as to balance or nearly balance the gravitational and anti-gravitational forces acting upon it, thereby causing the object to rise, float, or fall, can be applied to any object including the human body. OSCR to space communication. Communication between Earthmen and beings living in outer space or in other phases of life without reference to the method or means used to effect that communication. Any means may be used, such as physical, electronic, mental, spiritual, cosmic, etc. The communication may be either a new way or our way in nature. Precipitation, applied to cosmic actions. The act of forming a solid object directly from universal energy by mind control. Used by adepts and advanced space beings. A mental mold or visualization controls the shape and size of the object, and feeling controls the quality of the object. Saucer, often called flying saucer. 1. A disc-shaped spaceship. The name saucer dates back to June 24, 1947, when Kenneth Arnold, a businessman of Boise, Idaho, while flying his plane near Mount Rainier, Washington, USA, sighted 9 large gleaming disks flying in formation. He described them later as resembling saucers, and from this incident the term flying saucer developed. 2. Any type of spaceship. 3. A fireball or similar space phenomena. 4. Foo Fighter type of disk. Sorcerer 1. One who contacts a saucer, or space being, or who has some noteworthy experience relating to spaceships or space phenomena. 2. One who is especially interested in spaceships and allied space phenomena. Spaceman, a man or individualized consciousness living outside the confines of terrestrial Earth. He may be of the same or of a higher or of a lower degree of cosmic evolution than Earthman. He may also live on a higher or a lower plane of frequency than that of Earth life. Cf. Space being, angel, master, heavenly host. Spaceship. 1. Non-interplanetary type. A space conveyance capable of transporting materials and personnel within the confines of a planet's atmosphere. Such a ship is capable of overcoming gravity and distance without the necessity of burning fuel, but is incapable of operating outside the atmosphere of a planet. It cannot make interplanetary flights. 2. Interplanetary type. Same as above, except that ships can make interplanetary flights within the confines of a solar system by space-time, miles per hour methods. 3. Intergalactic type. These are true spaceships. They are capable of fuelless flight to any part of the universe. They are interplanetary and intergalactic and can employ either space-time means or instantaneous cosmic means of flight. Teleportation, the process of reducing a formed object to thought energy, mentally directing this energy to a desired destination or activity of consciousness, and then transforming the energy back into the form in which it originally existed. Note, there are numerous variations and types of this basic principle. Transcendence applied to spacecraft ascending from the Earth. The act of tuning out of Earth's Friedman-Sonnel type of existence by increasing the vibratory frequency and altering the polarization or plane of energy motion of a spaceship so that the craft and its contents pass out of the range of the human senses and enter a higher phase of existence. The reverse of emergence. 156. Approximate synonyms. As we went our rounds, we found many people using different names and words applied to certain phases of saucer phenomena. They were trying to express certain ideas about saucers, and they were using some interesting words and phrases to indicate their meaning. We tabulated a few of these as approximate synonyms, and we present them as a matter of interest to saucer students. Spaceship, flying saucer, saucer, mothership, UFO, unidentified flying object, Vilix, Vimana, Sanskrit, Karata, fireball, chariot or fire, signs in the heavens, Bible light ship, ether or etheric ship, outer space, empty space, vacuity, the black void. Different vibratory frequencies, densities, dimensions of time, or time frames. Different modes of vibration of energy or matter. Planes, planes of consciousness, consciousness unlimited. Octaves or bands or ranges of consciousness, or of awareness, or of sense. Spectrums of sense. Alokas, oriental philosophy. The astral and etheric worlds. The heavens. Heaven and hell. Worlds without end, religion. The universe. The cosmos. Words to be used with caution. We shall now briefly discuss a few of the words which we found undesirable to use in connection with modern space phenomena. The word astral seems to stir up visions of hell and damnation for certain people. The word etheric is a fine word, but it conveys a sense of non-solidity, exactly the opposite of the truth regarding spaceship mutations. The words spirit or spiritual, fine as they are, never seem to mean the same thing to any two people. We use them, but sparingly. The word psychic is still worse in its effects upon some individuals. We need a good substitute. The word seance conjures up wild visions of spooks, ectoplasm and mediums of lower state. Most people never delve below the outer shell of human knowledge, and how to convey to them the mysteries of outer space without treading on certain latent fears, which they hardly recognize themselves, is quite a problem. We believe a good new saucer dictionary and plenty of new words would help. After all, every new activity such as the automobile, television, or atomic energy, develops its own vocabulary. Why not saucers? Chapter 22. Why don't they? Here is one interesting point about this subject of saucers which we found everywhere we went. It is, in fact, practically the only point we found upon which just about everybody seems to agree. It is that the gentlemen in the spaceships never do anything right. Whatever they do or did, they should have done it differently. What they did not do, well, they should have done it. The saucer kibitzers on Earth are a mighty unhappy lot. This is an interesting point, to say the least. We found some individuals who were really wrought up and even sarcastic about the shortcomings of the boys upstairs. On our trip we could have collected a book full of why don't they's. The complaints were endless. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Some of the complainers almost convinced us that they rather than the space people should be operating the saucers. Some of these why don't they's were on the trivial side, but others seemed to have a bit of merit. Out of interest, we thought we might mention a few of the latter variety, together with the best answers which we found along the way. One of the most persistent complaints was, why don't they land on the White House lawn in Washington, D.C., and declare themselves and their purpose? We think this is a good question. We discovered that a good answer cannot be given in a few words, but that there is a good answer for the thoughtful students of saucers. Much of this answer is set forth in the 20th Century Fox motion picture film The Day the Earth Stood Still, which, although fiction, nevertheless presents the story of a saucer landing right in Washington. It tells about the spaceman in the saucer and his friendly effort to deliver the true message of the space people to our government, the treatment accorded him by our armed forces, and the dire events that ensued. Many saucer students who know something of the history of this film sincerely believe that it was inspired by the space beings in our midst. Many are also convinced that the space people have declared themselves and their purpose to selected officials in the major governments of the world. Many OSC messages we have studied state this to be true. Another common complaint is, why don't they come down and stop evil and stop wars and really help us if they are as good and as powerful as they are portrayed? We believe there are two valid answers to this common question. First, most Earthmen are so constituted that they only learn by experience, And this earth life is intended as a kindergarten in which man can learn life's lessons by experience. The space people have through countless ages sent great teachers to help us and show us the way. The trouble is we have not followed these teachings. If the space people now solved all our problems for us, we would be deprived of the lessons we need. The space people are not permitted to live our lives for us. Cosmic law wisely puts limits on the help they can give us. Secondly, they are helping us right now, within the bounds of cosmic law, in hundreds of ways we do not recognize because we do not understand them or how they operate. They operate mostly unseen, through energy and through helpful thoughts, inspirations and right ideas with which they surround us. When things get helpless for us, however, they do take an unseen hand in our affairs and even bring about drastic changes in the world. Another prevalent complaint is along the following vein. If they really want us to know them, why don't they arrange a different type of contact in which, without harm to themselves, they could land and meet a group of Earth people of unquestionable authority and standing under circumstances where photographs could be taken, objects could be exchanged, and all the proofs which most people would like to have could be provided along with proper publicity. Frankly, we are as much in favor of such a contact as anyone else. We have also found that many good saucer students feel that such things will come about in due time when the world is better conditioned for them and when it can be done without fear of panic or undue upset to our economic, scientific, governmental and religious views. These sorcerers say we are too impatient and that we do not recognize or believe the steps already taken by the space people to acquaint man with their true nature and purpose. The sorcerers declare the space people know what they are doing and that they are acting with great wisdom. After some study, we are inclined to agree with these sorcerers, especially after our talks with Orfeo Angelusi, who from actual experiences has a keen understanding of the problem the space people themselves face in their efforts to reveal their true nature to us without frightening us. See Chapter 28. Just let us suppose that you, the reader, wanted to let all the fish in the ocean know about yourself and your civilization. Just how would you go about it? Please do not laugh at this comparison. The first problem you would face in revealing yourself to the fish would be a language barrier. So do the space people in communicating with us. You might have to resort to telepathy. Maybe you would discover the poor fish are a little stupid about responding. Heaven forbid that any spaceman might find some of us in that category. Then there is that little problem of the difference in the densities of the medium water in which they, the fish, live and the medium air in which you live. Is it much different with the space people coming from their medium or vibratory frequency into our physical frequency? Can you not just imagine a poor fish whom you contacted trying desperately to explain his contact to a school of his fellow fish? He might be saying something like this, and then the monster from outer air with two tails, "That's you," said to me, "We live our lives in air." Second fish, "Impossible. No one can live in air." First fish, "Then he told me they had nests in which they live 10 times higher than our longest whale." Third fish, "I think our brother fish must have dreamed this experience." Fourth fish, "Sounds fishy to me too." First fish, "Then he told me they can travel in the air 35 times faster than the fastest shark." Chorus of fishes, "Now we know he's crazy. Better send him to the fish psychiatrist." Many, many people on Earth are almost screaming for the space people, the planetary guardians, to land and disclose themselves. Disclose themselves as what? As a physical beings just like you and me. They have appeared in physical form, but in so doing they are not actually disclosing themselves. What do we wish them to do? Misrepresent themselves? Most of them are not physical beings, although they can appear as that, if that is all we are capable of understanding. But that is not their true nature. They are true space beings, and they live in a different medium, a different frequency than we do, just as we live in a different medium than do the fish in the ocean. The point is, that they are disclosing themselves to us, faster than most of us can take it. They are doing so in their own way. The officialdom of the world is not a channel they can use. Our time-honored, Ultra-respectable institutions are not channels they can employ, so they do what they can, choose little people, receptive people with certain qualities here and there throughout the globe and use them as little points of light, little pieces of leaven, which eventually will enlighten and leaven humanity and bring the knowledge of inhabited outer space to everyone. From this point of view, let us examine briefly the ledger of unfoldment, the indications that space people have disclosed themselves and are disclosing themselves in their own way, systematically, gradually, year by year, step by step, to ignorant and doubting humanity. Steps of unfoldment. 1. First, many strange lights were seen in the sky, and other unusual phenomena. 2. A degree of form and intelligent control was noted in connection with these phenomena. S. The Foo Fighters of World War II were reappraised by many as part of the same phenomena. 4. Fireballs of many sizes and colors were noted in the skies. 5. Sightings were made of actual spaceships of many different types all over the world. They are continuing. 6. Strange appearing and disappearing phenomena have been observed. 7. Actual photographs of these objects have been obtained and presented to a startled public. 8. Many OSC messages and communications have been reported from widely divergent localities disclosing much information on space phenomena. 9. Then came a few isolated landings and contacts. 10. Then a few selected individuals were given rides. 11. Then a few highly sensitive people were able to contact sources somewhat above our average level of frequency. In other words, there has been an orderly and progressive disclosure of their presence by the space people in their own way. Many sorcerers who have taken the trouble to study the matter firsthand have gotten over the idea that officialdom will help them in any way and have come to the conclusion that these revelations are actually coming faster than most people can absorb them. They feel that the space people are actually doing a fine job of revealing themselves progressively, in their own way, with wisdom far superior to ours. Be patient, they say, further unfoldments will come when we are redeal. Chapter 23. Are sorcerers chosen by the space people? Are sorcerers chosen by the space people? Are those individuals who are having contacts or are there out, understanding sorcerer experiences, or those who are receiving noteworthy messages from outer space, are they chosen by the space people? Are they singled out and given such experiences by the space people for definite reasons? Or do these experiences just happen? Many people have asked us about this, and we have asked ourselves these interesting questions many times. In fact, we have become so interested in them that we really had given the matter a good deal of study. Without going into too many details, the following represents our present estimate of the situation. We do believe that there is indeed a factor of choice by the space people in every single case of contact or outstanding saucer experience. But we believe that this is never the only factor involved. There are two other important factors which enter in, and these are the qualities of the person contacted and his availability. Thus there are three major factors in such experiences. First, some degree of selection or choice by the space people. Second, the qualities or character of the Earthman contacted. And third, his availability. The emphasis on one or another of these factors appears to vary greatly in different cases. But all three seem evident in varying degrees in all major experiences. By major experiences we are not including ordinary sightings, of which there are many. Most of these we classify as happenstances, although a few special sightings may represent some degree of premeditation on the part of the space people. A whole book could be directed to this subject alone. Let it suffice to consider very briefly a few cases. 164. But first let us always remember this, that back of all flights of spaceships to this Earth there is always a definite purpose. Spaceships do not just happen to come into the atmosphere of our Earth. They always have some kind of a mission, and they must receive permission of the planetary guardians. A few spaceships come on exploring, sightseeing or educational trips. But due to the present critical situation on our Earth, Most of the ships now contacting us come on much more serious missions. Many of these missions are for scientific study of the conditions of our Earth, our people, and our atmosphere. Consider now the case of the Mexican chauffeur. As we see it, the spaceship was on a definite mission and had landed off the highway in fulfilling that mission prior to the chauffeur's stopping on the road due to a car breakdown. The space people did not cause the breakdown. He was available near the spot where they were working due to their mission. Here is the factor of availability. But where is the factor of choice? It is this, that they did not have to contact him if they did not wish to. From what we know about the ability of spacemen, they doubtless televised his mind and character through and through before deciding to make a contact. They knew in advance that he was amiable, stable and a suitable subject for a contact and that he was someone they could talk to and learn about human conditions on our Earth. This represents the other factors of choice and of character. Take the case of George Adamski. Anyone who studies his first contact and the steps that gradually led up to it can trace these factors of choice, character and availability. Here was a man of rugged qualities who for months had been patiently trying to photograph saucers. Also for years he had been teaching brotherly love, which is the chief message of all the space people. Moreover he had a certain measure of telepathic ability. And he was available at the time a contact was desirable to the space people. He had definite qualifications as a messenger, and to those who know anything about the space people, his association with Desmond Leslie was no accident. In the case of Daniel Fry, the choosing was so deliberate on the part of the spaceman that this factor plus his technical and his receiving abilities all bulk large in this experience. As to his availability at the right time, well, the spaceman simply took a hand in this and made him available. These same three factors may be traced throughout the experiences of the great sorcerers, but we cannot go into all the cases now. It is a study all by itself. One other comment. It is interesting to note the great divergence in the types of people chosen for contact and communications. The variations in character, education and social status are worth noting. We believe that this is significant. It seems as if our space brothers are interested in studying the reaction of different types of individuals to a contact or a communication. How do different types of Earth people react to such experiences? The space people appear to be finding this out as well as selecting channels through which to disclose themselves and transmit their great messages to humanity. Chapter 24. Outer Space and They That Dwell Therein. If we are ever going to understand spacecraft and space people, the first thing we must understand is logically enough outer space itself. What is outer space? If we really understood the answer to this question, it would be the very key to our conquest of outer space, a task to which man on Earth is even now seriously dedicating himself. Before we could build a submarine, we needed to understand water, the medium in which the submarine had to operate. Before we could bring forth successful airplanes, we had to learn more about the air itself. Before we can make any real progress in spaceflight, we will certainly have to expand our concepts and our understanding of the basic nature of outer space itself. It seems to us that many people these days have the cart before the horse. Or shall we say the saucer before the cup of knowledge of outer space itself, which must precede our understanding of spaceships and space travel. OLD and new concepts of outer space. On our pilgrimage we found a very interesting thing. We still found plenty of the old conventional, materialistic concept of outer space. Everybody knows about this concept. One looks into the starry heavens and sees solid bodies, like stars and suns and planets, and between them one sees vast reaches of empty space. Of course the most learned ones among us also see nebulous formations, but these also float around in empty space. And so it is all very simple. All we have to deal with is solid or nebulous bodies on the one hand and empty space on the other hand. What one cannot see with the physical eyes does not exist. Outer space is just nothingness, vacuity. This is the usual materialistic concept of outer space. But what surprised us most was that here and there we found some very astute but practical thinkers who were talking about new and entirely different concepts of outer space. These concepts seemed to us to be so startlingly different from the conventional view, to be so far-reaching, so impassive, or shall we say so new age, that we made a special note of them. As these remarkable concepts cannot be presented in one or two sentences, we shall make the effort to present them in some detail, step by step, in the simplest possible terms. We feel that they merit this attention. We shall call them the vibratory frequency explanation of outer space. Let us now examine the essential points in this challenging explanation of outer space. Vibratory frequency explanation of outer space. Life is consciousness. The background concept of this entire explanation of outer space is in the proposition that life is primarily a manifestation of consciousness, or if one prefers it, life is consciousness. Now there is life as a whole and there is individual life. Life as a whole is the sum total of all consciousness. This summation of consciousness takes in all life, all existence and all reality. On the other hand, individual consciousness takes in only that particular portion of total life, existence and reality which the individual is aware of at any given period of his evolution. Limitations of human consciousness. Human consciousness, or the consciousness of individuals like ourselves, has great limitations. It cognizes only a very limited phase of total existence. Its chief limitation lies in the fact that its view of life is confined to a time-space-matter type of reality. It recognizes only a physical type of existence. It tunes into only one narrow waveband of life and thus presents a very narrow view of total reality. As one researcher put it, viewing life through the human consciousness is like looking at a great football game through a knot hole in the fence. All one sees is a very small portion of the spectacular game. Thus, human consciousness only sees, is only aware of, one small part of the great game of life. This limited view is all the five physical senses or human consciousness can give us, but life as a whole extends far beyond this physical plane into infinite realms. But these are outside of the present tune-in range of the human consciousness. Vibratory frequencies. Reality as a whole in outer space exists in various bands or octaves of vibratory frequencies. These correspond to different planes of consciousness. The human or Earthman's band of vibratory frequency presents only the manifestations of physical life or reality as we know them. But there are many other bands of vibratory frequency in outer space. These other bands of frequency are definite vibratory motions of energy representing different types of matter which go to make up other phases of reality and existence. Consciousness produces energy in many frequencies and modes of motion and with it creates the matter or the substance of things or activities which it is conscious of. The great error of the human mind is its limited belief that matter or substance in the higher realms of life is vaporous, weightless and non-solid. Nothing is farther from cosmic truth. Each vibratory frequency has its own solid matter, its own reality of existence that is, it is solid and real to those who live in that frequency. And how many bands of vibratory frequency or planes of consciousness are there? Please do not ask us. Oriental philosophy mentions 7 or possibly 8. An advanced teacher we knew spoke of 21. We doubt if any human being knows. If he knew, he would not be living in the human octave. Possibly all the frequencies merge or join each other. Possibly there are an infinite number of life's frequencies worlds without end. 169, the department store simile. A simile which has helped many people to grasp this vibratory frequency explanation of outer space is as follows. Outer space is like a department store. We refer to one of those modern mercantile establishments with many different floors devoted to many different kinds of merchandise which are reached by elevators. One cannot reach the floors above the ground floor unless one goes up to a different level, up the elevator. Now the ground level corresponds to the human vibratory frequency, the human plane of consciousness. Then if one desires to go into a higher frequency or reach another dimension of life, One enters the frequency elevator and goes up the scale of vibratory frequencies. Then one gets off at a new floor, a new level of frequency of life or consciousness. Here one finds a new world in which there are different people, different things, a different atmosphere from what existed on the ground level.